help us to commence this morning with hymn 610. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy spirit now dwell in us, and with love our souls inspire. Fill, O fill us, with that love which casts out fear. 610.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 30. The first book of Samuel, chapter 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us, and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." And it was so from that day forward, that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, "Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." To them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatta, and to them which were in Aroah, and to them which were in Sifmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rakul, and to them which were in the cities of the Jerahmeelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Horma, and to them which were in Kor-Ashan, and to them which were in Aphek, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Most high, most holy, yet most gracious and most merciful God, do help us to come before thee now and truly teach us how to pray and what to pray for. Oh, that there is a God in heaven, the one true, living, eternal, and almighty God. Lord, may we be found of those upon this earth who worship thee aright, in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. And as we meet together on this returning Lord's Day, this first day of a new week, this day set apart, sanctified for holy use, so we rest from our daily labours and come to worship thee this day. Oh, may we know something of that private, personal, closet worship. Lord, grant us also to know that family worship. And now, Lord, as we gather together in this public way to worship thee here, oh, do help us, enable us to worship thee. Help us, Lord, as we sing thy worthy praises, to sing with the heart and with the understanding, and singing with grace in our hearts. O Lord, bless to our souls the reading of thy holy word, and grant us that right understanding of thy word. O, may we not be left to consider these things as historical facts in the account of David at such a time, but we would see Jesus, Jesus upon every page of Scripture. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And may the sacred Scriptures make us wise unto salvation. Lord, help us yet to seek thy face in prayer. Oh, the great privilege of prayer, that we poor sinners may pray unto thee, God in heaven, to behold the throne of grace. The promise draws us near. There Jesus, with a smiling face, waits to answer prayer. And Lord, do help us as we would further turn to thy word. Oh, may the gospel be preached in its beauty and in its simplicity. Oh, may Christ be exalted high upon the gospel pole, that sinners may look and live. Now, Lord, we gather together here in thy name. We pray for thy felt presence. We pray, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And may thy Spirit take of thine and show it unto us. Oh, may we not be left to a mere form, an outward performance. Oh, may we not be left a mere duty and expectation. But, oh, Lord, bless us with the outpouring of thy Spirit. And may thy Spirit move upon the face of the waters, a move in the hearts of many here. May thy word run and have free course and be glorified. May there be that wrought of God, and let thy work appear. Lord, thou knowest how we have come this day. And, O Lord, thou knowest those who have come in need, those who have prayed their way here. O Lord, those with a burden, a desire, a longing heart. O Lord, those who need a word in due season, a word from the Lord, a word unto their souls. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Those who long to hear the voice of the Beloved, the voice of a good shepherd. Be not silent unto me. O Lord, how thy silence is greatly feared, but do cause thy glorious voice to be heard. And O Lord, do remember such who need a word of help, encouragement, direction. Lord, those who need a word to strengthen and support, a word of instruction, and a word, Lord, to guide them in their way. O Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one. Attend to every case, supply every need, bless each soul. And Lord, if any have come in indifferently, carelessly, O do have mercy, Lord, and remember them, and call them by thy grace, and bring them into need. Do yet bless his cause of truth. Oh, we would be so thankful to hear of thy Spirit's work here. Truly a city not forsaken, but remembered of God. Oh, Lord, do grant thy blessing yet and go on to do great things. Ah, can they not say the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. O Lord, do yet work in the hearts of others. Constrain others also to testify of thy grace. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. O, to have that humble hope and sweet confidence of speaking what we believe the Lord has done for our never-dying soul. To make that open profession of our faith in thy name. O Lord, who continue to work mightily here, to call sinners by thy grace, to bring them out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light, out from the power of Satan and unto the power of God. Lord, who bless the church, remember the officers, grant much grace and wisdom and help. Bless each church member, each member of a congregation. We would lovingly remember the little ones, the children, the young people growing up into life. Oh, what an evil, dark and difficult day their lot has been cast into. Lord, be that wall of fire round about them. Oh, protect them from the ways of this world, the ways of sin, the vanities of youth. Oh, may they be taught of the Lord. Lord, do remember them for good. And do remember, dear parents, also. Grant much grace and discernment and help and understanding to bring our children up aright. And, oh, Lord, do bless all in the midst of life. Many burdens, many cares and responsibilities. Oh, grant that sufficiency of thy grace and strength. Remember those in more senior years and old age, and may they yet prove thy gracious help, and that wonderful promise, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. O Lord, be unto them all that they need. Bless each one gathered here this day. Remember any unable to be here, any laid aside in sickness or affliction, any away at this time, any caught up in lawful employments. Lord, remember such, and bless any who have turned in this day as visitors. May they prove this also to be the house of God, the place where thy honour dwelleth. Lord, we do seek thy blessing. Keep us, Lord, from quenching or grieving thy Holy Spirit. All the consequences are so solemn. Lord, do remember all the gatherings of thy people this day, all who gather together in thy name to worship thee. And, O Lord, command thy blessing. And may there be joy in heaven over sinners brought to repentance. Lord, we would pray for Zion. Do remember causes that have diminished and brought so low, some struggling for survival. Oh Lord, shine upon the churches lest they die. And may there yet be a building up. We thank thee where we hear of encouragements. The Lord adding such as shall be saved. Oh, may there yet be others. As fast as sheep to Jesus go, may lambs recruit thy fold below. Lord, as one and another of thy servants are being taken to glory, oh, would it please thee yet to raise up, equip, and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry. Such a great need of faithful ministers of the gospel. And where there may be those exercised concerning this great calling, oh Lord, remember them. And may that time come when they must go and show themselves unto Israel. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. May we prove it to be so now. O Lord, forgive our every sin. Accept of our humble thanksgiving for all thy many, many, many mercies. Lord, send help. Compassion on us have, we pray. Empty send us not away. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 339. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. 339.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter we've read together from the first book of Samuel, chapter 30, and the latter part of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, the latter part of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Truly, for David, this was a very dark and distressing day. He must have felt like Jacob all those years before. All these things are against me. Everything seemed to be going wrong. David had had a day of prosperity. That never-to-be-forgotten time when he went out against Goliath and smote that giant. And yet it was from that time King Saul being envious because the women were singing that Saul has slain his thousands, yet David his 10,000s, giving more honour to David. And how King Saul became so jealous and envious and angry. And from that time he sought to smite David, even casting a javelin at him that he might kill him. And David was forced under such circumstances to flee for his life literally. He must flee. But everywhere he fled, so King Saul pursued after him. It seems intent upon killing him, to get rid of him, to destroy him. But everywhere that David went, really the Lord was a wall of fire round about him. The Lord delivered him, the Lord protected him, the Lord kept him. Saul was not allowed to touch David. Saul could not touch David. As much as David said concerning King Saul, he was the Lord's anointed. Yet it was also true that David himself was the Lord's anointed. And the Lord had a great work for David to do. David would become a king over all Israel. That day would come. Indeed, had not God anointed David through Samuel the prophet. But since that time, oh, how the word of the Lord seemed to be so tried. You remember how David fled to the city of Nob, where the priests were, and obtained there the hallowed bread, and also took the sword of Goliath, which had been kept there. And King Saul, hearing of that, went to that city and destroyed it. He slew all the priests of the Lord. Such was his anger that they had been kind to David. But one young man escaped, even Abiathar, Ahimelech's son. You see, God was in control. God was at work. The Lord was going before. Though at this time, David, oh, his faith must have been so greatly, greatly tried. Throughout Scripture, there are some most mysterious and strange things which perhaps we just cannot understand. You remember the first time when David fled to Achish, king of Gath, and there Achish the king, when he heard it was David, and remember David had slain Goliath, who was from Gath, we wonder why ever David fled there. But perhaps he was just so desperate. And how David then began to behave most strangely, acting as a madman, in such a way that Achish refused to have him, and David felt himself to have escaped with his life. And yet, is it Psalm 32 we have David singing forth God's praises, how he escaped at that time of grave danger. But then, a little while later, it seems that David, fearing that one day he would fall by the hand of Saul, fled again to the Philistines, the enemies of the children of Israel. And we think, David, what are you doing? Was there nowhere else to flee, that he must flee to the Philistines? And he had these 600 men and their families with him as well. But then the circumstances are so different. Achish seems to befriend David. And David seems to suggest that he would be a servant to Achish. And Achish gives to him Ziklag, the city, to dwell. And there they abode. Another strange and mysterious thing. When the Philistines would go forth now to fight against the Israelites, the children of Israel, it would appear that David fain would go with them. But when the lords of the Philistines hear of this, and that it is David who has slain Goliath, they fear that when the battle begins, that David will then turn against the Philistines and fight for the children of Israel. So they refuse David and send him back. And even this seemed to be a trial to David. And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? And David, this man of God, this man of faith, was saying this to the king of Achish, King Achish of the Philistines at Gath. So David had been rejected. And David and his men returned to Ziklag. They're expecting to find the city in peace, and their wives, and the children, and the family life. But as they begin to behold the city, perhaps there is yet smoke. And whether it was tents or stone buildings, we do not know. But it was a burnt desolation, reduced by flames to nothing. And not a soul there alive. Oh, what a sight greeted them. Could things get any worse for David? Fleeing from King Saul, he was away from the land of Israel. Those days as a humble shepherd are now far gone, and now also being refused by the Philistines and returning back to Ziklag to find it burned with fire, and his wives and his children not there. Could anything else go wrong? And I believe some of you here this morning have been in such places. All things have been so dark and distressing. Everything seems to have gone wrong. You feel to be at your lowest ebb. And you think, can anything else go wrong? And then something else does go wrong. And it just seems to overwhelm and overcome. Well, for David, after weeping so much that they had no more power to weep, then he hears that, and we can only believe some of the people, no doubt the sons of Belial, speak of stoning him to death. They blame David for this tragedy, or they blamed him for what had now come upon them. And you know, sometimes after a time of grief and tragedy, there is that upset, there is a weeping, there is a crying, then it may turn to anger. The anger begins to come out. And with certain of these men, it seems that their anger now was coming out. They must give vent to their anger. And so they are quite prepared to pick up stones, rocks, and stone David to death. But again, as the Lord had protected David thus far, and being that wall of fire round about him, so David would yet be preserved and kept and saved and delivered. But the grief was so great, and David was sunk so low. Oh, such darkness, such despondency. It was a dark and evil day. And I believe also in David's heart there would have been this guilty conscience of what he had done. As he sees there before him, Ziklag, reduced to rubble, burned with fire. Perhaps it came to him, whatever was I doing coming to the Philistines to fight with them against the children of Israel? He may have felt so troubled, so burdened. And now perhaps that great fear, had he grieved the Holy Spirit? Had he grieved the Lord his God? The Lord his God who had been so good to him? You see, David came to that conclusion, but he was leaning upon his own understanding against sense and reason. One day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. But David, that is not the word of God. There is no word of God to say that you are going to fall one day by the hand of Saul. Did not the Lord anoint you to be the next king over Israel? That's the word of God. That will come to pass. Though at this time everything seemed to go against it. But that day would come. But David, he leans upon his own understanding. My dear friends, how much easier it is to ourselves to lean upon our own understanding rather than to trust in God and to believe in God and the word of the Lord. Oh, how prone we are to lean upon our own understanding, to look at logic or sense or reason or what we think or what we consider, how we work things out, how we think things may fall. You see, David, rather than trusting in the word of the Lord his God, he feels that one day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. And it was because of this he fled to the Philistines. He gave up. For a time, he gave up. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who, through much fear, trepidation, perhaps in such darkness of soul, all the temptations are very real, very powerful, very strong. And you virtually come to that point where you're going to give up. Give up hoping, give up praying, give up trusting. And it may be for a time. But the Lord will never permit any one of his people to completely give up. Or the Lord will maintain that life of faith. The Lord will yet have his people look to him, come to him, trust in him, plead with him. Now, I'm not too sure if we're told how long David was in Ziklag. But that time has come when Ziklag must be burned with fire. And all of David's leaning upon his own understanding, all of his sense and reason also must be burned up with fire. You see, it wasn't just Ziklag burned with fire. Oh, everything of self and nature and carnal reason also must be burned with fire. When David was in such a dark place, where could he turn? Where could he turn? You know, he turned to that same place as Jonah did in the belly of that great fish, when there was, as it were, literally nowhere else to turn. All was darkness and despair and a guilty conscience and a troubled heart. Where could he turn? You see, it's where the Lord will have his people to turn, even unto him. Oh, it's like a door of hope in the valley of Achor. It's like finding a door, a way out, and here is a key. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had nowhere else to turn. Against hope, he would believe in hope. Though so tempted, though so tried, so greatly distressed, yet David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This little word, but, at times it is a very precious word to the child of God. There is that wonderful little but in Psalm 130. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand before such an holy, righteous, just, sin-hating, sin-punishing God? Who shall stand as a guilty sinner? Who shall stand as a condemned soul? Who shall stand before the holiness of God, the majesty of God? Who shall stand? There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, but there is forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, surely there is mercy, a merciful God. That reminds me of how the apostle writes to the church at Ephesus. There he reminds them of what they were by nature, before the Lord called them by his grace, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of his world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, that is, sinners, great sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy, but God intervened. But God quickened. But God began that work of grace. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Another but came to mind. Those two on the Emmaus road. And they also were distressed and cast down and troubled. Their hopes had been dashed by the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, but we hoped it was he that should have redeemed Israel. And how the Lord Jesus opened to them the scriptures, and their heart burnt within them while he walked with them in the way. And now they come toward their city Emmaus. He would have gone further. But they constrained him. Oh, I see such a beauty in that. These poor sinners, but they constrained him. Ah, this little word, but, is a word of hope. That door of hope. Here, David, in his darkness, in his distress and despondency, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It is a great mercy. At such times that the child of God, the burdened, longing, needy, praying soul, has one to turn to. Remember, this is under the Old Testament dispensation. And as I mentioned earlier, from the city of Nob, where there was that awful slaughter from King Saul, Abiathar escaped, and in escaping came unto David. And Abiathar was here with David, and he also had the Urim and the Thummim, whereby one might inquire of God. Well, remember, David had fled from the land of Israel. He did not have that access, as it were, to the Ark of the Covenant. But the Lord's people, they have that access unto the throne of grace, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, at all times, in every place. Or a child of God may come before the Lord in prayer and encourage himself in the Lord his God. Now, have we not touched upon the mercy of God? That God is merciful, the scriptures declare. It cannot be denied, though the tempted child of God in such darkness and despair may fear to presume in the mercy of God, but God is merciful. Oh, did not Jonah have to learn that lesson? Both as it concerned the inhabitants of Nineveh, and whereby they cried, who can tell? Who can tell? And also as it concerned that gourd which was smitten by the worm. And even there the Lord would show to Jonah his mercy over poor sinners. So it may be this morning we have come to the house of God greatly distressed on account of our sins, feeling to be such a guilty sinner, such a great sinner. And perhaps you prove that you cannot cease from sin. You prove that your sins abound. And it may be such a temptation. And these temptations are very real. They're not just figments of our imaginations. They are real temptations. And we fear there can be no mercy, no pardon, no forgiveness. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had nowhere else to turn. And I believe the Lord will also deal with his people to bring them to that place where they have nowhere else to turn. That is, stripping them of all their own self-righteousness, taking away every other prop, every other stay, if you will, closing every other door, and yet drawing them to the door of his mercy. That God is merciful. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, there's two things there. There's that felt sense of our need of God's mercy, seeking the Lord's mercy, praying for God's mercy, longing for God's mercy, and then to obtain God's mercy. Oh, we dare not presume, do we? We dare not take it for granted. We long to know that God has been merciful to me, but I obtained mercy. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and every sinner at the throne of grace, they're humbled, broken, contrite, all crying out with the publican, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Such a one is hoping in God's mercy, and as such encouraging himself in the Lord his God. And everyone taught their need of God's mercy will also be taught their need of the Lord Jesus. And as such will be found seeking him. To seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Is that where you are this morning? And perhaps it's been a long time that you've been seeking. If you will, knocking upon the door of God's mercy, but that door still seems to be shut to you. And you feel to be greatly distressed. Greatly distressed that you will never find the Lord. Greatly distressed that the Lord Jesus will never reveal himself unto you. Greatly distressed that that time of love will not come to you. As a hymn writer penned, the time of love will come when ye shall clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say, for me, that you feel greatly distressed, it will never come to you. It just seems to be no hope. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It is a wonderful thing, and I believe he will prove it. Where the Lord has given that spirit of prayer, and that in and of itself is the most tremendous, wonderful, blessed thing, that the Lord has taught you to pray, to seek him, to call upon him. And though at times that spirit of prayer seems to be quenched, seems to be stopped, prevented, yet the Lord will maintain that spirit of prayer, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. Where the Lord has caused you to seek his face, to seek him, to seek his mercy, to seek a precious Jesus, I said not unto the seed of Israel, seek ye me in vain. The Lord will never mock his people in causing them to seek him, and then to deny them from finding him. No, God is faithful. God is faithful. The word of God is true. Seek, and ye shall find. Oh, but we need much grace, much help to continue seeking. To continue seeking the Lord. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And every seeking soul will find opposition from Satan, opposition from the world, opposition from that old man of sin, from self. And that opposition can be great and can be heavy and can be persistent. Or does Satan tempt you to give up, to call no more on Jesus' name? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, in the word of the Lord his God. May the Lord help you to bring his word before him in prayer. Was it not this which at another time so helped and encouraged David? Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. For this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Do you have such a word in Scripture, upon which the Lord has caused you to hope? Oh, it may be a faint hope, a weak hope, a trembling hope, but still a word upon which you hope. Now the temptation may be that you fear that it wasn't given to you, that you took it, you stole it, you applied it to yourself, as many in false religion do. And yet, at that time, did not the word come to you in power and unction, in authority? Did not it enter in your heart? And did it not have such a gracious effect to cause you to come before the Lord in prayer? Ah, that word upon which the Lord had caused you to hope. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, what a word this is, that this man receiveth sinners. The Lord Jesus receiveth sinners. And the Lord's people will only come to him, will be taught to come to him as sinners. If you understand me, they don't come as saints. They don't come feelingly that they are of the children of God. They come as sinners. They come with their guilt and shame. They come in confession of sin. They would come with that godly sorrow which worketh repentance. They come with a broken heart, a contrite spirit. They come humbly. But they come as sinners to one who receiveth sinners. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, how we need those encouragements. Oh, that God is faithful, that God is good. And yet oft times, why through darksome paths I go, and can see no reason. Yet we shall hereafter know, each in his due season, but still the dark paths. And what a dark path David was walking in. As I mentioned at the outset, like Jacob, all these things are against me. Everything is going wrong. Everything is so dark. And we wonder why it must be so. Now again the enemy comes in like a flood. The Lord hath forsaken him. The Lord hath forgotten him. The Lord has given up on him. There is no hope for him in God. And so these temptations, they come in thick and fast, and leave a soul like David greatly distressed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Sometimes in the Psalms we're given the occasion when the psalm was written. Oft times we're not. And we just wonder when David may have penned Psalms 42 and 43. It may have been at this time. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God when things are going wrong? in a day of adversity, a day of trouble, a day of sorrow, a day of loss, a day of disappointment. Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, that is, the Lord will appear. The Lord will appear. But then it seems that David goes crashing down again. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And then hope raises up again. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And then again it seems that David sinks down again. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy, as with a sword in my bones? Mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Just a thought comes from this question, this painful, distressing question, where is thy God? Well, sometimes we have, as it were, in nature, these very dark, dismal, cloudy days, and we just do not see the sun at all. There may be a mist, there may be a fog, there may be such darkness. And it's like saying, where is the sun? Well, the sun is behind the clouds. The sun is still shining in all its power, in all its glory. The sun is still there. The sun hasn't disappeared. I'm sure those of you who have flown, you may have taken off on a cloudy or wet day and go into the clouds. Then after some time, the plane goes above the clouds and all of a sudden the sun shines so brightly, so beautifully. Where is thy God? Well, God is yet in heaven. The Lord is yet there in control, over all, above all, ordering all things according to his purposes. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Is there one here this morning in some particular fiery trial? Your faith being so tried. You see, Job was brought there, wasn't he? One thing after another. And wonders where the scene will end. And David was greatly distressed, and Job also was greatly distressed. There in chapter 23, Job couldn't find the Lord his God, adding to all his great distress. It was such a dark day. And there he was, feeling so troubled. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Is there one echoing that language now? The Lord help you also to continue. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He knoweth. He knoweth. Oh, what words of comfort and encouragement they have been to many a tried child of God. But he knoweth. The Lord knows all about it. Yes, this sorrow, this pain, this distress, this sadness, this disappointment, he knoweth. He knoweth a way that I take. When he hath tried me, oh, the Lord help you to see his hand in it all. When he hath tried me, because the Lord trieth the righteous. If you will, the Lord trieth his people in a way that he doesn't try the unbeliever, the worldly, the mere professor of religion. When he hath tried me, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing have happened unto you. Where the Lord has given faith, that faith most surely will be tried, to prove it is the faith of God's elect. And despite all your unbelieving fears and all your doubts and all your sense and reason, I shall come forth. I shall come forth as gold, purified, purified. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Though he slay me, once said Job, yet will I trust in him. Or what faith we need at times to trust in him alone. Again, I think it was in David in Psalm 62. Trust in him at all times. Oh, when we think of the people of God set forth in Scripture, in the day of trouble, in the fiery trial, to trust in him at all times. So we can think of Abraham. And we can think of Jacob, and we can think of Joseph, we can think of Moses and the children of Israel. We can think of those in the Judges, we can think of David here. We mentioned Job, we think of Jeremiah. My mind just goes to the New Testament, and the disciples and the ship and that great storm. Oh, to trust in him, though the Lord appears to be asleep. And also the apostle on that voyage where that great storm came upon them. And after many days when neither sun nor stars appeared and all hope that we should be saved seemed to be taken away. Still to trust in God. Oh dear friend, whatever your trouble, whatever your distress, whatever your problem, whatever your impossibility, whatever your mountain, the Lord help you. Only the Lord can help you. Don't go to man. The Lord help you to trust in him alone. To trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. And prove God is a refuge for you. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It just goes to the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. And oh, what great instruction there is there. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then a little later, as it were, following on from that instruction, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly, and those who walk uprightly are those walking by faith, looking unto Jesus. Are those walking by faith as it were, must run with patience the race that is set before them. So the Lord help you and me to run with patience the race that is set before us, run with endurance, trusting in God, casting all our care upon him, proving he careth for you. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. At such a time he may have thought the Lord doesn't care for him. To see Ziklag burned with fire, not to see his wives or children, and then to see the anger of some of those with him threatening to stone him. To think of King Saul still pursuing him, the rejection of the Philistines, and well, where could David turn now? Where could he flee now? But unto the Lord, his God. My God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a favour so divine. The Lord, his God. Well, when Ruth left Moab, she left perhaps mother and father, family, those of the land of her nativity. Yes, she left all the idols, the false gods. And she went with Naomi, another widow, her mother-in-law. Naturally speaking, there wasn't much for them to look forward to go to Israel, to widows. And yet we behold the faith of Ruth as she clave unto Naomi, thy God shall be my God, and thy people my people, and so on, the Lord his God. Ah, if we are found of those serving God, worshipping God, who seek to follow him, to know him, is there not that hope that the Lord is our God? Do we not pray to be kept from all false gods, from all idols, that we might be found of the true worshippers of God, members of the living family of God, with them numbered, oh, may I be, now and in eternity. Oh, to be a real Christian, blessed of that real religion, to know the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are of the children of God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Oh, so you see, there is hope. There is a door of hope. There is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. So David would inquire of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, and David recovered all. Ah, this would be a great change in the life of David. Very, very soon he would hear of the death of King Saul and Jonathan. Very soon David would be anointed king, first at Hebron, before going to Jerusalem. It was a dark hour, a very, very dark hour. But as it is in nature, and perhaps some of you have witnessed it, the darkest hour is often just before the dawn, just before the sun rising. And so it may be at present in your pathway, the Lord's dealings with you, in your soul, such a dark hour, and you feel so greatly distressed. But who can tell? The Lord help you to look to him, to cry unto him. I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God, the Lord my God. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £727.50, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard, followed by a short church meeting. Mr. Stephen Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. And our friends at Oakington hold a baptismal service on Saturday at 2:30, which is also the occasion of the reopening of the chapel after its refurbishment. Let us close with hymn 909. Why, drooping saint dismayed, does sorrow press thee down? Has God refused to give thee aid, or does he seem to frown? 909.
Thank you.
And may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.